Hello, everybody. I'm George Mossy. This is the George Mossy Show, the pop culture podcast, episode two. I'm here with Gina and
Hello.
hi. So it's been a weird, rough week for us in many ways. So we're gonna talk about some of the events that have taken place within the last week, because we were just here like over a little over a week ago. And that was that week, and now there's been another week of insanity. I feel like 2025 is a really scary place to live, because it seems like what you thought was a huge deal, something happens right after and it's even worse. So I don't know, like, you know how they say this generation eats trauma for breakfast? It might be true. We really do. So I want to start off on like a really sad note, right? So last week we suffered a lot of loss, and it was a lot of, no matter what part of the past you grew up in, you suffered some sort of loss last week, because there were three people, three very prominent figures from our childhood, our growing up upbringing lives, that left this world. And it's really crazy, because the Malcolm Jamal Warner death was really shocking, because he was so young. He was 54 years old. And if people, like, I don't know if you follow him on Instagram, but he was posting, and he, and I don't want to say like it didn't seem like this was going to happen, because death is a very unexpected thing. But like watching his last posts, and how happy and vibrant he was, it's a huge wake-up call, Gina, to how we really need to be really appreciative to every day that we're given, and treat it like a gift, because his life was stolen from him, right? Like, he was living his best life. He was with his family, swimming with his daughter, and then the very next moment, he's gone, right?
So what, maybe I read wrong or heard wrong, but I don't know where he was. I want to say Costa Rica, but I could be wrong.
No, yeah, you're right.
But okay. I read that they put up like the f warnings not to go out in the water, but I don't know. Allegedly, I don't know where I read it, to not to go into the water.
That was reported, and I did see signs. Like, there were people who posted, like, the area that this happened in, the tragedy. There were signs, because the current of the water is very strong, I guess, this time. And they said, even for a skilled swimmer, the current is very overpowering. And I guess that there were no lifeguards on duty, because this was a time of year that they didn't want people swimming. So, like I said, this is super unfortunate. And we've heard stories where this has happened, where an amazingly skilled swimmer, someone who's been swimming since they were born, has lost their lives to a current. And I don't think people, no, I feel like people underestimate the power of the ocean, right? Of the water, and how.
I think people underestimate the power of the ocean, the water, and fire.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Fire too. You're right. I don't think humans really know. Like, how animals can sense danger? They can sense something that would be life-threatening to them, and they retreat from it. Like, animals, insects, they have that sense of, I don't want to put myself in danger. And I feel like sometimes humans, we don't realize what we're capable of and what we're not capable of, and we want to feel like we can handle anything. And sometimes, we just have to be aware of our limits, right? Like, there, you can be an Olympic gold medal winning swimmer. You are no match for the ocean. The ocean is a
No,
monster. It's a beast. It's
it's a powerful
yes.
God made, like, it's God made, it's powerful.
Yeah,
Don't underestimate it.
we underestimate a lot of things, like you said, fires and cars, airplanes. Like, we want to believe that as humans we are capable of anything, and I believe that we are to some extent, but we also need to know that there are limits, and we definitely should follow signs, follow warnings. And this is super sad for me. I think what really hurt the most was they said that his daughter was in the vicinity when this happened, because I was like, now she has to relive that moment every day for the rest of her life. Because when you when you witness something like that, your parent losing your parent, it happened right in front of you. You saw this tragedy. And I believe it was reported that she was also in the water, and this happened when he was trying to save her. And that even, it broke my heart even more. Because I was like, because now she has to live every day knowing that her dad wanted to save her. And now she has to relive that. Now she's gonna have this emotional weight on her shoulders for the rest of her life. And it just completely breaks my heart. It just hurts me to even think of it.
Well, hopefully, they'll get the best psychologists and know that it's not her fault, because usually what anyone normal would do, or any child would do, is always blame themselves for whatever action the parent makes, right? So hopefully she won't fall victim to that she will blame herself for this. It is a natural disaster. It is a disaster that occurred. So hopefully, a tragic accident that occurred. So hopefully, she won't have that guilt trip that she was at fault for this, when really she wasn't. She's just an innocent child. It's kind of like, I don't want to compare it, but it's kind of like a dog too, right? A dog will always stay loyal to its owner, no matter how. If the owner hits them, or what is mean to them, like the child, a child's innocent in all cases, in all matters, and they wear their heart on their sleeves. So it's sad and tragic.
It is. And while we're on the subject, we're going to get all of this out of the way in the beginning. Osborne, I believe the Prince of Darkness, was his what we he went by. He
I
ruled
thought it was the Knight of Darkness.
the
Yeah,
Knight of
something like that.
Darkness.
Either the Prince or Knight of
Yeah,
Darkness.
I don't know to what extent. I know it to some extent he was in your life, right? For me, I watched the Osbournes, the
Me too.
show, right? So I wasn't like a massive fan of his music. But I was a huge fan of just of him as a dad, and just juggling being a rock star and being a dad and being funny and being relatable. And it kind of opened my eyes to, because I was like, oh, the people who sing this dark metal, heavy metal music, I don't think I would relate to them. And he kind of showed me that, yes, I could. You know, like, just because he sings a type of music that I might not relate to doesn't mean that I don't relate to him in some other way. And I felt like watching that show was just such a cool experience for me, because I was young, I was inexperienced in music and in the world. So seeing someone who had such an amazing career and it's such a different genre of music from what I would relate to, and to see that he was funny and interesting, and he had this insanely crazy family, and he lived like such this such an entertaining, crazy life. It was just so interesting for me. So like that was a huge deal for me. And we knew that Ozzy was his health was deteriorating, right?
Deteriorating.
We were watching, and Sharon was very open with what was going on, and we saw him perform his farewell show, right? We saw lots of video and pictures from his farewell show, thousands and thousands of people, so many celebrities went out to support him. And what really made me happy was they honored him, and people showed up for him and were there for him while he was still here, and he was able to see the level of support in person while he was here. And I feel like that's so important, because a lot of times people don't, they don't show you how much they love you and appreciate you and love your music and love your art and your talent until it's too late. And I just love seeing those videos, because I want to say Kelly's fiance proposed to her at that final show, because he wanted Ozzy to be a part of that situation. And I was like, that's so beautiful to see, because now he was able to give his blessing.
Witness that
And witness.
exactly. And I think I was reading too, I think Drake did a tribute to him too, somewhere as well.
Yeah, see, that's just so crazy. It's like he's touched so many different lives and different types of people, right? There's because I tell you, when I was younger, I was like, oh, Ozzy Osbourne, you'd have to be a certain type of person to know who that is or listen to that music. And I'm telling you, he broke that barrier. Right when he did that show, the Osbournes, and his music, and I started listening to his music from the show, and I was like, oh, this isn't, I don't know what I thought death metal was, but I thought it was something that I wouldn't like. But there are songs that he made that I did like, and I think that he really did open a lot of people's eyes and make us stop being so closed-minded to things. And I really appreciate that impact he had on my life. And he has such an impact on so many people all over the world, right? Like, I remember buying the Osbournes on DVD. I don't want to age myself, but like, we're putting the show on DVD because we couldn't just go and stream stuff back in the day. I remember buying it and going back and rewatching it because we didn't have DVR back in the day either. So if you missed the episodes, you might not be able to see it. So you would go and buy the DVD and watch the seasons. I did that. So yeah, he really did have a big impact for me. And then
Exactly.
one more. So.
Actually, there was a total of four that week, now that I think about it.
Oh my gosh. Well, Hulk Hogan was one of the huge names that we lost. And there was a lot of controversy around his death because I guess there was some negativity and things that he said years back that resurfaced around his death. And I really don't know how I feel about that because I know, people do make mistakes. I don't know if he ever apologized for what he did, but I don't know if it's the right time to bring up that type of stuff and in the wake of someone's passing.
No,
I don't
not
know
at all.
right time. Like, obviously, when they're still here, and if you feel a certain type of way, you should speak up. But like, in that event, when they leave this world, the first thing you bring up is something really bad that they did or said. I don't know if that's like the best way to handle that situation. Like, you wouldn't go to a funeral and get up in front of everyone and just say horrible things, about this person, because people do good things, people do bad things. That's a part of life. People make mistakes, people say things they regret, people do things they regret. But his legacy, no one can deny that Hulk Hogan is he's a legendary human being. And he dominated the wrestling industry, and he opened successful businesses. Hogan's Hangouts, Angela from 90 Day Fiancé, that's one of her favorite places to go in the world. It's this amazing bar and grill and karaoke bar that he opened in Tampa or Clearwater. And he's just.
But even if you weren't into wrestling, he made a name for himself because you still knew who he was. Even if you didn't watch wrestling, you
Oh
still knew who he was,
yeah. He was
right?
a character, and he did commercials, and he had catchphrases, and he endorsed products. So like you said, he did Super Bowl commercials. Like, it was impossible for you to live a life without knowing who he was. He was going to be in your world at some point, and you were going to be introduced to him at some point. And as a kid, I was a huge fan. I had the wrestling buddies, the wrestling figures, and he had a huge impact. And I saw that his daughter Brooke and him had fallen out, and that sucks because I know that she wasn't speaking to him at the time of his passing. And those type of stories, when I hear things like that, it's so heartbreaking when you think you have.
They even had a TV show, or she even had a TV show too, didn't she?
Yeah, he had Hogan Knows Best,
Yeah.
where he and his family also introduced themselves to the world, and that's where we kind of saw him as a dad, as a human being, instead of just as the character Hulk Hogan that we knew from wrestling and the commercials and the products that he endorsed. And that also showed us a different side, of him. And then also Brooke introduced her singing career to the world through that show, Hulk Best. That's where we watched Hulk work his magic and get her the record deal and help her record this music. And he opened so many doors for her. So I think that's what hurt me the most when I found out that they weren't speaking at the time of his death because they were so close. She was a self-proclaimed daddy's girl. I don't know them. I don't know them personally, so I can't say what happened, but I it's saddening to know that.
Think he like Again, we're not going to speak ill will of someone who's passed away, but from what I've read, his political views don't align with her political views,
Oh, that sucks. I hate that.
as well as other, like, yeah, he didn't approve of one of her past boyfriends and stuff like that due to the
Yeah.
color of his skin as well. But again, this is allegedly, this is like kind of like you read it over, you're like, okay, whatever, moving on, right? Like you don't know if it's true or not. until it comes out of that person's, one of the person's
Yeah.
mouths, basically, right? So,
I know Brooke said that she had twins and he hadn't met the twins, and that really
that's
bothered.
heartbreaking.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that bothered. Because I know we all are different people, right? And it's like your parents, they have their own views, their own opinions on life. And you have to remember, parents are brought up in a different time than we are. So sometimes their views might be a little more harsh or a little more closed-minded because they entered the world generations before we did. And as years go on, we become more and more tolerant and understanding. And I guess the term might be woke, right? Like we can see injustice now much easier than they could 50 years ago. And I know it's hard when someone believes or has a political belief that's outside of yours, but I really do believe that we have to learn how to coexist as just human beings, right? Like we can't always expect everyone to understand or see things the same way as we do. We have to have an open mind to the point where there can be Republicans and there can be Democrats, and we can all go to the same place and eat together, right? Like I really want a world where we can all understand our differences but still get along and coexist. And I know that's really difficult, especially in the political climate we live in now, but I just believe that we should all have our own individual opinions and views. And anyone who thinks that, well, you don't see things the same way as I do, so I have to hate you. I don't like that way of thinking. I just don't. And there's never been a year in any year in any century in any time where everyone believed and did the same thing in history. It's never existed. So why we think that it's going to ever exist is crazy to me.
We just need to coexist with each other, and we do know people's views are going to be different from the next person's view. And it's not about political views or religion or whatnot, but at the end of the day, like if they're forcing something that you disagree with, then maybe that's when you decide to kind of break them off. Kind of like I like to compare it to like Jehovah Witnesses, right? So they'll force that religion on people, and it's just
Oh,
a matter of choice, right? So it's
yeah.
basically like, no, you need to draw the line, like that's it, right? So
Yeah, I agree. I was raised in a cult and I don't shy away from people that are very religious. But like you said, when you start being forceful of your religion to me, that's where I have to draw the line in the sand because that's how I was raised. I was raised where when I was born, I was baptized into a religion. Before I could talk, before I could feed myself, before I could think, I was
for
already.
yourself, exactly.
So that is where I have to draw the line, unfortunately. Like if you want to force me to do something, that is where I draw the line. But if you just want to talk to me and we can have conversation, we could get along totally fine. Like you could be in
Exactly.
any religion and we'll totally get along as long as you let me have my free will and you live the way you want to and I live the way I want to. We could be best friends. Oh, so
Exactly.
I want to get into some Backstreet Boys talk.
Oh, wait, there is someone else who passed away.
Wait,
On the
no.
same week, this you probably would hear the name Chuck Mangione.
Oh, I do know that name.
Yeah, he was an American a flugelhorn player, trumpeter, and composer. He passed away as well in his sleep on July 22nd.
Oh yeah, so he definitely, I know the name very well, and it says that he co-led the Jazz Brothers. So yeah, this is crazy. So many deaths in such a short amount of time. It's just, it's a lot. It's a lot. And we had gone for such a long time without losing people, and it really makes you I don't know. It gives you like a false sense of like, oh, everything in the world is going okay. And then when something like this happens, it's kind of like, oh, wow. It's like a wake up call. Like, wow, we're losing all these amazing people. And I get it. We don't live forever. I get it. But it opens your eyes to how fragile life is and how we don't know what's promised. Like we don't know if we're going to be here the next day. We don't know, what to expect. And then this Chuck Mangione, he passed away. He was 84 years old, The Malcolm Jamal Warner thing, he was only 54 years old, and Hulk Hogan was only 71. So it really opens your eyes to like, wow, we really don't know what we're promised. We don't know how long we're gonna be here. And that's it makes you feel a little uneasy, right? It's like, geez, these are young people leaving this world, and you know, this could be any of us. It could happen to anyone.
Exactly.
All right, so I want to get into a little Backstreet Boys talk. I know we talked about them last week, but one of the Backstreet Boys, Brian, was in the news lately, and there's something going on. I guess he has a place in Florida. I think he has multiple places. I think the Backstreet Boys are like, right, Gina, I don't feel like they would just be living in one place. I feel like the Backstreet Boys have lots of homes because
Yeah.
this for like 30 plus years, and they're touring all the time. And you know, you go to one of their shows and you spend $100 and all you got was a hoodie. So I know that there's a lot going on with them property wise, but I heard that Brian is having an issue with one of his properties in South Florida because he owns a beachfront property, right? And this beachfront property is on. Well, how do I explain this? So he has a house, and then behind the house is a beach with the water. And what the people that live in the area feel is the sand and the water is not his property. They feel like it's a public beach, but Brian disagrees. The sand and the water are part of my property, and I don't want people on it. So, Gina, how do you feel about that? Because, first of all, this is rich people problems because we don't have enough money to buy a beachfront property. So, but like, how do you feel about that? If you purchase a beachfront property, do you expect that you would own your own piece of a private beach? Is that like a reasonable expectation?
Absolutely not. The only owner of that beach is God himself. So it's not man-made. He didn't create it. He didn't create that beach. And it's funny because I used to like Brian, and then just like I was saying in the conversation, our political views just don't align. And then started to see kind of a new side, and then I stopped liking him. So you made me see the path to the correct
Well,
path. But
Brian, he's not my favorite Backstreet Boy. You know, like, he's not my favorite, but I definitely feel like he is not the most humble person. You know, I've watched his career for a long time, and a lot of the things that he has done, I'm just like, oh, that's a little arrogant. And you know, and oh, I forgot to mention, he's suing the police department of the city or the county where his beachfront property is located because he feels they don't properly enforce trespassing people off of his property. So he is now suing the police department as part of this lawsuit
that's
for.
laughable because there's beachfront properties here that are very expensive, and I will never afford that unless I see nobody with those accusations. No one's suing anybody because you're on my beachfront property. You're on my beach. No, it's not your beach. It's a public beach. Like, get over yourself. Like, you've got to be
Well,
kidding. And I hope you lose this lawsuit. Like, you're just wasting money and it's just going down the toilet.
you know what they say, Gina. You can't fight the law. The law always wins. So I don't feel like he's gonna be able to beat the police department for not enforcing, because he wants them to arrest people that are on his property. But if you look at the video and the picture, he was on the local news, right? And they showed video of his property, the house set back, and then there is a huge gap between the house, and then there's sand, and then there's water. And he's saying that anywhere from his home all the way to the water and the sand, you can't walk there. But there
No.
are houses, you know, they're lined up. There's house, 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 house. And he's saying that each of those homes own all of that, all the way up to the water, and sand. And you know, a normal person, just say for instance, you know what a lot of people like to do, they get their dog or whatever and they go out and they walk the beach.
Yeah.
You live in a beautiful area like that, and there's beautiful water and sand. You just go out and you walk the beach, and you're not necessarily walking too close to the homes, but you are walking between the homes and the water. And Brian feels like, well, you can't do that because that's my property. And I'm not a judge, I'm not a property inspector or whatever you call the person that knows this type of.
Well, I'm sure like the city records have where the property line starts and where it stops. So every house in blueprints and stuff like that, every house has it. This is where it starts, this is where it stops.
This is true. And then another thing that I was thinking, if he really wants to keep people off of the part that's his property, he should install a gate. You know, because if you do own property and you know where your property line ends and begins, you can install a gate and you can prevent people. And actually, depending on codes, you can put up a tall enough gate to where it's taller than the average person so they can't even look into your property. So if he.
Exactly, but they probably want to sit there and enjoy the views of the beach. They don't want to view the
Well, right.
gate.
If you're right. If you put up a gate, you're destroying that beautiful view. So that would be counterproductive. So I don't know. I think, in my opinion, Brian should just sell this property and buy a private island, right? Because let's be realistic. Brian has the money to buy a private island if he really wanted one. This man has been super uber successful in the Backstreet Boys for over 30 years. And his son is a pretty successful performer. And, you know, anything that he wants to purchase, I don't think is out of the question. And I think the house that he bought is really nice, but maybe he's outgrown that, and the privacy and exclusive area that he wants, he's outgrown that in this home. And maybe he should just get something a little more private islandy, you know? And
Well,
that's not out of the question for someone of his stature. You know, if you really want a beach that no one else is allowed on, you might have to buy the whole island.
yeah, well, now we're gonna like, should we hop on to the American Idol and the connection that he has to American Idol now, or do you just want to bypass that?
Yeah. So Brian Luttrell has a son. Hold on, I'll get his name. I
It's
can't.
Bailey.
Bailey Luttrell. So Brian Luttrell has a son, Bailey. And if you guys are big Backstreet Boys fans, you know that Brian has taken Bailey on tour with the Backstreet Boys, kind of like what Nick Carter did with his late brother Aaron Carter. You know, when you're a massive superstar, you can kind of pass on some of your celebrity to like your siblings or your children. And Bailey, I believe, is a country singer, if I'm not mistaken, right, Gina? He sings some.
Country, gospel, I think.
So he was going out on the road with his dad. He was pretty established, right? Like, if you were a Backstreet Boy fan, you knew who Bailey was. He definitely existed. And I'm just gonna say this, it's my opinion. I feel like when Bailey went on to American Idol to showcase his talent, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, including me, because I really do believe that American Idol is a show that is put into place for people that are disadvantaged when it comes to being discovered and move into the music industry. It's people that don't have any, they're not a nepo baby,
Lies.
right? They don't have ties, they're not a nepo baby, they don't have any way to get themselves in front of the right people, right? So like when a big name person goes on to a show like American Idol, it rubs me the wrong way, especially somebody like Bailey Littrell, whose dad is inarguably one of he's in probably one of the biggest boy bands, if not the biggest boy band that ever existed. Because we could say that One Direction was one of the biggest that ever existed, but they don't exist anymore. This boy band is still standing, right?
And
Like,
it's still going strong.
still going strong. They're still selling out insanely large venues. I believe that they just played the Sphere, okay,
Yeah.
in Vegas. Like, they are super massive, uber famous. So him going on that show, and then Brian also went on the show with his son and performed with him. A lot of people were saying that that's not fair. That's kind of taking that opportunity from someone who might not have the ties and connections that Bailey has. Because let's be realistic, if Bailey wanted to record an album, he has access to producers, he has access to a studio, he has access to record executives, because Brian and his bandmates have the connect. Imagine being in the industry for 30, almost 35 years, right? And you have all of these connections and you can pass this along to your son, right? So a lot of people are like, it's unfair for Bailey to take a spot from someone who wouldn't have had those connections.
Exactly.
Do you agree with that statement? Do you feel like
I
that is
completely agree with that statement, right? Like, if you're gonna go on like a show like that, maybe go on The Masked Singer instead.
Well, yeah, because that is created for celebrities, right? You're already an
Exactly.
established celebrity and you're not really going on there to get a record deal. You've already had several, if not just one big one. So The Masked Singer, but I don't know if he would be big enough for The Masked Singer because, like I said, you have to be
But
a
he could have come on with his dad.
there is a show called We Are Family. I don't know if you saw We Are Family. I think Anthony Anderson hosts it. It comes on, I can't remember the channel now, but it's basically you're related to a super famous person and you go on the show and you sing and they give hints and then people have to guess who the celebrity is that you're related to. He could have easily done We Are Family. It's actually a really cool show because a lot of the
But the thing is, people would recognize him. That's
Well,
the
right.
thing.
It would give it away
It
because,
would.
like I said, a lot of women know everything about every Backstreet Boy situation. So Bailey walking in, first of all, Bailey looks identical to his dad. So first of all, it's a huge giveaway because just looking at him, you can kind of already decipher that that's Brian Luttrell's son because they're very they look alike. So him walking on the show would be hard, but again, I disagree with that. I disagree with using the American Idol platform for someone who already had such an amazing platform as it is. Going on tour with the Backstreet Boys is like a priceless, what do you call it? A priceless opportunity, right? And Bailey's been able to do that for years. So yeah, I again, he's not my favorite Backstreet Boy, and we're actually going to keep an eye on the case that he has against the local police department. We're going to let you guys know how that goes. Like I said, I don't think that you can fight the law. Most people say they've tried to fight the law and the law won. So I don't think that he's going to come out on top. They interviewed a lot of residents, and the residents were like, he thinks that he owns the place and, he can't tell us we can't walk on the beach. And I feel like the courts will probably agree, right? Because if you don't own the island, you can't tell people who can be on the island, right? Isn't that kind of how it goes? You have to own the island to tell people who can't. And if you're just a resident of the island, you can't determine who's allowed on the island because beaches are
Well, I
allowed.
think it's just like a vacation home because it says, like, as per Wikipedia, it says they live in Georgia with his parents.
Oh, so they don't even live in this Florida home regularly. This is like when they're on vacation.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's just a beach home.
Oh, so he's suing the police department over a vacation home. He's not even there.
Exactly.
That's a little arrogant, right? Like that's a little arrogant. That's like saying, well, I'm only here a few weeks out
Yeah.
of the year, but even in those few weeks, I want you to arrest people for being near my house. That's a little arrogant.
So, as per Wikipedia, it says Brian, like as of 2024, lives within Alpharetta, correct me if I'm wrong, Georgia, near Atlanta. He's having been there since 2000, soon after Latrell and his wife got married.
Oh, so they're Atlanta residents. Girl, I didn't know that. I did not know that Brian Luttrell lived in Atlanta, Georgia. That's very interesting. I would have assumed Montana or Texas. Like, honestly, I did not know that.
Or his home state, which was Kentucky.
Oh, he's from Kentucky?
Yeah.
He does seem like a Kentuckian now that you say that. But yeah, I didn't realize that this was just a vacation home. So now
This seems like just a vacation home, and he's just being like a baby about everything. Like, I'm sorry, like you're not even there right now. You're in Vegas. Like,
well,
get over
yeah.
yourself.
That's what a lot of people were saying. They're like, you're on tour, like literally. Okay, so say there's 365 days in the year. The Backstreet Boys are probably on tour for like 300 of those days. The Backstreet Boys are, you know what I used to call them? The hardest working boy band in the world. Because the Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block are on the road so much. Like they're probably performing in an arena right now as we're talking. They're probably
Yeah, in Vegas. They're still in Vegas.
Yeah, they're performing right at this moment. They're the hardworking. When you talk about boy bands and hardworking people, New Kids on the Block and the Backstreet Boys are super hardworking. They're always on tour. They're always doing shows and appearances. So the idea that he's making such a big deal over his vacation home, which he probably spends maybe a weekend a year, right? Because he's always at work. It's giving off a little arrogant. And maybe Brian needs to be humbled a little bit, right? Like sometimes when you become a big star and there's so many commas in your bank account, you need a piece of humble pie just to bring you back down to earth. Because sometimes, if you've been a celebrity for pushing 35 years, you might need a slice of humble pie just to, bring you back down to earth. Because he was a teenager the last time that he was not a huge star. And maybe he's getting a little too arrogant for his own good.
Yeah, the tour ends August 24th.
Oh, so they go off tour next month. So maybe he'll end up in Florida at that vacation home sometime after that.
And then they're in Brazil on September 12th.
Oh, so he's not even taking a full month off. Just a few
So.
weeks. See, that's what I said. They're very hardworking. And don't get me wrong, like I think the harder you work, the more you deserve to enjoy your free time, and if he does want to spend time on the beach at his home, he deserves that. But I don't think that he can tell everybody else they can't be on the beach just because he wants to be on the beach. Like, I don't, unless you own the beach, I don't, or the island, I don't think you can tell people if they can be on it. Because last time I checked, the beach is a public space. Like it's taxpayer funded, right? I'm pretty sure the beach is like a, it's kind of like a park, but with water. Right? Like everybody can go there.
Exactly.
So, what's this story with Katy Perry? Because I blinked and Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom weren't together anymore, which
Yeah.
I
I
would.
thought they were still together.
Yeah,
And then
I
I'm
would.
like, wait, she's
No.
having dinner with the former Canada Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and he's divorced. Hold on a
Well,
second.
right, because I thought he was married and I thought she was with Orlando Bloom. So this story was a little confusing for me. Also, I didn't even realize he's a former prime minister. I thought this man was still running Canada. That just shows you how much I keep up with politics, Gina. I didn't even know that this man was a former prime minister. So, Gina, who's running your country right now?
Oh shit, I'm not into politics
Because I didn't know.
either.
I thought that that man was still running Canada. As far as I was concerned, I thought Justin Trudeau was still running Canada because that just showed.
No, he stepped down.
Was there like some sort of controversy or was he just.
No, he just stepped down, I think. I don't know if there was a controversy or not. I'm not really into politics,
That's
right?
how
So.
I am. I wouldn't know what's going on politically. Unfortunately, in America, politics are much harder to avoid. Because there's always some corruption going on. At least in your country, Gina, it's easier to avoid it because there's not something extremely horrible happening on a daily basis politically, right? Like it's easier because here, something bad is probably happening politically right this second as we're speaking. So it's harder
So
to avoid, but.
the current prime minister, this is why it's not really irrelevant to me. It's like he was been since March 14th of this year.
Oh, so wait, was Justin running it like before that?
Prior to, yeah.
Oh, so he just literally stepped down months ago. Oh, so I'm not that far
Yeah.
off. I'm not that far off. He was in charge this year at least. Oh, so it says Mark Carney is your current
Yeah.
prime minister, the Honorable Mark Carney. And yeah, preceding him was Justin Trudeau. He is now with Katy Perry. Does that shock you?
Well, he's not with Katy Perry. Katy Perry's on tour right now. She finished a few I think last week was her concert here in Vancouver. Now she's in Montreal.
So what are these rumors that they're together? How, where, when were they together?
Like just recently, they're having dinner together. She must be in Montreal doing a show.
Okay, let's, okay, yeah. Montreal, Canada, former Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Katy Perry had dinner together this week at the La Villon restaurant. It's a fine dining. They were spotted having a romantic dinner. No,
So
well, but Gina, I will add, it says there were no visual signs of PDA, but it was just the two of them eating together.
exactly. And according to one news article, his follows a swirl of speculation over his political future following public spats with former allies and no confidence motion that was called for later in January, falling poll numbers. So, yeah, and I guess he couldn't run the country anymore.
Interesting. So he was married, Gina.
He was married.
He was married to a Sophie Gregora.
Yes, that is correct.
But it says that they split in 2023. So see, again, I don't know him well enough to have known that they've been split since 2023. But I think the real thing is Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom split much more recently. So my question to you is, would it be too soon for Katie to be with Justin? Do you think that?
She's not married. She doesn't have any kids. She can do whatever she wants.
I like that answer. You're right. Because
She has no ties to Orlando Bloom.
you're right. They weren't married. I don't even think they were engaged, were they? I'm pretty sure they were just dating this whole time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, if they are together, I don't dislike them. I think that two good-looking people together is great, right? Like, I have no issue with it. Oh, I want to ask you, because Katy Perry has been in the news lately, and people have been making fun of her latest tour and her outfits and the pageantry of her shows. So, have you seen these videos and her outfits and stuff that they've been posting on TikTok?
Well, it's Katy Perry. Like, she's out there. Should already know that.
But okay, I want to ask you a question. So Katy Perry used to be the queen, princess, pop, whatever you want to call it. You know, when she had her Teenage Dream album and Firework, and that
I
she was
kissed a
running,
girl.
I Kissed a Girl, she was running the pop world, right? And then she took a step back from the pop world and she went to judge American Idol for multiple seasons. And then after, it seemed like after she did that, every time she tried to re-enter the pop world, it didn't do well. I want to say she put out an album a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and I don't think it did well. And I think that this new album, people are comparing it to what she did back when she was, you know, running the industry, and they're like, oh, she doesn't have the longevity that she used to have. So I want to get your opinion on that. How do you feel about her and her career now versus her and her career in 2013 when she had songs like Roar, and in 2010 when she had songs like Firework, and 2011 when she was Last Friday Night and ET Extraterrestrial in 2010, Dark Horse in 2013? Like, she was running the industry. But now it seems like whenever she puts out a song, it's slow moving into the rotation. Why do you think that is?
It could be producers, like a different producers. And if you think about it, because we love our music, the music has changed. Like the music genre and has changed since Firework, since ET, since all of her hits, right? So that was like up and coming. If you want to basically, she came out, I think, at the same time as that one hit wonder, like Kesha. She came out around the same time. They both came out around the same time, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait, did you refer to Kesha as a one-hit wonder?
Well, I can't remember out of the top of my head other songs she's sung.
Well,
That's
no,
the
I'm curious.
problem.
I'm curious because we live in different countries. And you know, Gina, Some people are one-hit wonders in some countries, in other countries they have multiple hits. So what I'm curious to know is if maybe Kesha didn't go past TikTok in Canada, but she did go with multiple albums here in the US. So I've always found it really intriguing of how the music industry works, how there's some artists that are massive in certain areas of the world, and then they could go to some countries and be practically unknown and be launched as a new artist. So it's really interesting to me that, because for me in the US, Kesha has multiple hits with multiple albums and she had a lot going on. So it's interesting the way you described it, because in your country and what you heard and saw, that might be your actual experience. So I love to hear that type of experience, because I hear all the time where people are from the UK or they're from other country, they're from Australia, and we'll be discussing celebrities and I'll mention it and they're like, oh yeah, they had that one song. And I'm like, what? They have like four albums, but depending on where they were in the world, it's not the same.
She could have had more, but it maybe just wasn't my genre, and I was listening to other music at the same time, because like she came out with like 2010, 12, 17, 2020, 23, and now she's come up with a new album, right? Like, and the TikTok, it was an anthem. It was a summer anthem, right? Like, it was always on the radio. I don't listen to the radio anymore. So I think maybe that's why I'm not influenced by that at the same time. And she could have other songs that I actually know, and I'm like, oh, she sings that? So.
Yeah, I think that you probably would know a few other songs, but I'll just say Animal, Warrior, and
Oh, see, like those names are kind of ringing a bell now, right?
those were pretty big albums for her. Animal, Warrior, and Cannibal were all pretty
Oh,
big
blah
albums.
blah blah, your love is my drug. Okay, yeah, now that I'm like looking at her Wikipedia, looking at some of the songs and the singles, now it's like Timber. Now those songs are all coming back to me. Like, okay, yeah, no. So let's go back, take my word back, my bad. But yeah, like as soon as you start listening different songs, then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, never mind.
Okay, so back to Katy Perry though. So Katy has put out songs like Roar, Teenage Dream, California Girls, ET, Hot and Cold, Kiss the Girl, Part of Me. She's this massive star, but it seems like lately she's been putting out different projects. Like she put out 143 in 2024, she put out Witness in 2017, and these albums did not do, or and she did Smile in 2020. These albums didn't do as big as what she was doing in the 2010s. And a lot of people are saying now that she's back, she's left American Idol, she's no longer doing that full time, and she's trying to enter back into the music industry full time. And she wants to reclaim her position as the queen. And a lot of people are feeling as though that crown belongs to someone else now. Do you agree with that?
It could very well belong to somebody else, because as I mentioned, I haven't heard any of her new albums, right? So, and it could be production, it could like different producers, different writers, right? You got to stick with like what's new, hot, and fresh. And you can't compare to them. Like, I'm an old school person, so I love old music. Like, I love her old stuff. I haven't heard what her new stuff sounds like to do a comparison to see if I like it or not.
It's not the same. I have heard a little of her new stuff. It definitely doesn't sound like Roar and Teenage Dream and Last Friday Night, and it doesn't sound like that. And but I do believe that artists are supposed to grow and their sound is supposed to evolve. So, Taylor Swift, when she came out, with Teardrops on My Guitar, I don't expect her music to still sound that like that when she was 15. I expect Taylor Swift to evolve and change and mature
Of course.
and grow. So for some reason, I think Katie is doing that. She's growing, she's evolving, she's changing, her sound is changing. But I don't know if she's going to be able to reclaim that spot as she ran the pop industry for many, many years, right? She's done Super Bowl halftime shows. She's in her own right. I've seen her in many different arenas on I've seen her and I saw her at the House of Blues. When she did I Kissed a Girl tour, I saw her and a huge arena with thousands and thousands of people, over 20,000 people, when she had Teenage Dream and California Girls. So I've seen her career evolve into something huge, and it makes you question, because when a lot of people leave the industry for whatever reason, like for instance, Katie left to do American Idol. I think Britney Spears stopped doing music, and a lot of people are like, oh, if Britney was to put out an album tomorrow, she would still be the princess of pop. But it doesn't work that way with Katie. Katie is trying to do that, and it's not working. Do you agree with that statement? Do you think if Britney Spears were to drop an album tomorrow, that she could go on tour and sell it out? Do you think that people still see her as the princess of pop?
I don't think so, because like now, like her fan base is probably older and more mature and have expanded their music genre at the end of the day as well, right? So again, music has changed so much throughout the years when she was like out there, and say with Katy Perry, music has changed so much. So they would have to be like, okay, what's good right now? What's going to be a hit? What's going to be this, right? And unfortunately, with music, it changes so much. We can't even predict what's going to be hot and what's going to be not, right? And most of these people, like most of these youth now, like as I mentioned, like most, like it's usually who like Britney Spears, they're usually around my age or liked Britney Spears at one point. Like they all have kids now, right? So it's just like, should I pay to go see a concert that, or should I not, right? Or would I rather see a boy band, or would I rather see another concert or
But
somebody else that's been more like more involved in music lately?
can I be devil's advocate though? I think the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC fans, and O-Town fans, 98 Degrees, their fans are mature, older women with
Yes.
husbands and children, or wives. They could have wives too.
Whatever.
And you know, but they are still going hard for their boy bands. Do you think that boy band fandom and fandom for female singers are different? Do you think that the boy band fandom is a little more hardcore?
I think it is a little like it's a lot hardcore, because I was looking at tickets for Backstreet Boys. I'm like, God dang, I'm not going to spend that money, right? Because the resale tickets are going for $1,000.
That's
And
insane.
that, oh, don't even get me started on New Kids. New Kids is going for 2,000 for the
See,
ones that I want.
and that's so interesting because, like you said, these are mature women with careers, jobs, husbands, wives, mortgages. So you would think someone in that level of life wouldn't drop $1,000 to $2,000 to see their favorite band. But the New Kids on the Block and the Backstreet Boys are not performing to empty venues, and they never have. These women are coming out and showing out every time. So I wonder if the situation Katy Perry is experiencing has to do with the fact that she's just a solo female singer versus a boy band. I wonder
It
if
could.
she was in a girl group, for instance, would the fandom be a little more hardcore?
I think the fandom would be a little bit more hardcore, right? If she was in a girl group.
I don't know. See, I would go see Katy, but she would have to sing the old stuff. Right? Like,
Yeah.
I want to hear the 2010s Katie. That's where I fell in love with her. That's where she won me over. So if I go on the tour and I see her, I don't want to hear the new stuff because I'm not familiar with it. It's not as popular, it's not as big. So I want to hear the new stuff. Is that how you feel when you go see the boy bands? Do you want to hear the new stuff, or is it more fun for you when they sing the stuff that is from your childhood?
Stuff from the childhood.
So, does it bother you when you go to the show and they're singing a whole bunch of new stuff? Because remember, I told you I went to an O-Town show recently and they spent like half the show singing music that I guess they put out after I was a child, after I was a teenager. And I didn't know any of it. And I was like, can we like play These Are the Days, or, you know, like, when are we going to get to Liquid Dreams? You know, like, I wanted to hear the old stuff. And obviously, they want to push the new stuff because they want, you know, they want to not only have the fans that they had from when they started, but they want to win over new people. In order to do that, you got to keep putting out new relevant things. So,
So Yeah, so I'm looking at her set list for the concert. It does look like she does some of her like old stuff, but it's just like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's about 8 songs out of 24, and she's got like 2 surprise songs, which I don't know what they
Wait,
are.
only 8 of the old songs?
Yeah.
That's not enough for me. Like, I don't know. That's not enough. So we were talking about Katie, and I want to jump over to Beyonce and Destiny's Child because we were talking boy bands, now we're talking girl bands. And so Beyonce had a Vegas residency, which she ended the Cowboy Carter tour with. So first of all, Cowboy Carter, super controversial album because she labeled it as a country album. The public sometimes disagrees and feel like it's a country inspired album, but it's not a country album. But that's not what we're discussing here. What we really want to talk about is the fact that she reunited Destiny's Child to close out her Vegas show for the Cowboy Carter tour. So a lot of people are like, this was fun, but I want to see like Destiny's Child reunited and do a tour. Is that how you feel?
Yes.
Like, this was fun, but I want to see them on stage, a full set, the girls doing the songs that we remember. Is that what you really want to see?
Yes. Because would I go see Beyonce? Meh, maybe. Like, have I listened to her Cowboy Carter album? No. Do I know the Destiny's Child songs? Yes. Would I go see Destiny's Child over Beyonce? Yes.
See, I have listened to Cowboy Carter. There was like 3 songs or 4 songs that I liked. I'm a fan of Beyonce as a solo artist. But out of each album, 2 or 3 I really liked, and then the rest of it I could take or leave.
Yeah, me too, right? I do like some of her solo stuff, don't get me wrong, right? But would I prefer to see him in a group? Yes, right? Yeah, that's the way I feel about it with like, because I don't even know what she's doing. Like, I don't even know what she's singing on her Cowboy Carter tour, but I'm assuming the set list would be what like her new album, right?
Basically her
So.
new album, yeah, and then she throws in a few of her big solo hits, but it's basically just the Cowboy Carter album. So Destiny's Child, they did, I think, Lose My Breath, and I think Independent Women was a part of this. It really brought me back though, right? Because okay, so I don't want to age myself, but the first time I saw Destiny's Child in concert, I was at a Christina Aguilera concert. And they were the openers. That this is how old I am. They were Beyonce and Destiny's Child were the openers for Christina Aguilera, and they did like a little short set list. And what stands out to me, what I remember about this show was this was at an arena. Christina Aguilera was, big time, and this was at an arena, and it was set up for Christina's stage. And when Beyonce and Destiny's Child were performing, they didn't have any backdrop or anything that said their name. There was just a black curtain covering Christina's name. So you couldn't see her name. And they just stood in front of this black curtain, like the most low budget set. And it's crazy because this is Beyonce who came out with no backdrop, no set equipment, nothing. They just put up a black curtain so we couldn't see Christina Aguilera's name because it was already set up for her. And they performed. And I was like, it's such a humble beginning, right? Because seeing where Beyonce came from to where Beyonce is now, that's, I think, why I have such a huge love and understanding of her career. Because I remember, I think I told you the story one time before, Gina, where I met Beyonce, right? Yeah, so she came to a tour in Baton Rouge. She was an opener. It was her and Jagged Edge and I think one other group at a college down in Louisiana. And there was a oh my God, y'all are gonna know how old I am. There was a music store, and music store sponsored a signing, a meet
Oh
and
yeah, they used to do that too
greet.
here.
Yeah, so I was in school. I was in middle elementary school actually, and My sister knew that I was in love with Beyonce. So my sister came and checked me out of school early, and drove me to the mall, Cortana Mall. And I walked into the mall, and Jagged Edge had their table set up. Destiny's Child had their table set up. Both tables were empty. Nobody was there. And I walked up, and Beyonce's signing the, there was like little paper, like what do you call it?
Like a auto, like a picture of them.
Yeah, an autographed picture of the group. I still have it somewhere. And Beyonce's like, "Hi, what's your name?" And I said my name. And then Kelly was like, not Kelly. Well, yeah, Kelly was like, "Hi, what's your name?" Because Michelle wasn't in the group yet. That's how this isn't Michelle yet. We're talking.
This is pre-Michelle.
Yeah, this is pre-Michelle. This is like Latavia and Latoya Luckett. Like this is how far back we're going. And I'm talking to them, and Beyonce is like trying to have a conversation with me, and but I just keep staring at her like some weird, creepy weirdo because I couldn't interact with her because I just was in awe that she was there. So she's like asking me questions like, "What's your name? How old are you? Where are you from? Are you going to the show?" And instead of answering any of these questions, I just continually said, "I love you." Just to every question that Beyonce asked me, I said, "I love you." So she's like, "How old are you?" I was like, "I love you. Are you going to the show? I love you.
You.
What's your favorite song on the album?" I'm like, "I love you." And
Love you.
so eventually she's like, "I love you too, but like, are you gonna answer any of my questions?" And it was so funny. And my sister was like, "I'm sorry, he's not usually like this." But I was just like so in awe. Like, I was like, I don't know why, because they weren't that huge at the time. I think the single they had out at the time was Get on the Bus
Yeah.
from Why Do Fools Get Married or whatever. And I think before that they just had No. Oh, and
Say my name.
Say My Name, No, Bills, Bills, Bills. And
Bills.
Get on the Bus. That was all they had. So they were still pretty new, obviously, because nobody showed up to this meet and greet. But I don't know. For some reason, I knew that she was gonna be huge because I didn't freak out. And I've met Kelly, and Michelle, many times actually. I think Kelly I've met twice, Michelle one time, and outside of this meet and greet. Obviously Michelle wasn't there. But I don't know. I never got like that with any of the other girls. It was just Beyonce. I was just like in awe. So watching how she went from, showing up to a place to sign autographs that nobody showed up to do to Beyonce. Like she goes by one name, right? Like she, and wherever she books a show, she attracts everyone. People fly in from out of the country to go and watch.
Exactly.
So it's just an
That's what Vegas does too, right? People fly out of the country to go see whomever.
So
I have a funny story too. When you were talking about record stores bringing out like autograph signing for different artists, I met 98 Degrees like that. So long story short, I'd skipped school. I was in high school. I'd skipped school. I was with my friends. I skipped school. I'm in my uniform because I went to a private high school. So I'm in my kilt, and think of like Britney Spears era in my kilt. And my favorite 98 Degrees members was Drew, and he was at the end. And he's just like, he wouldn't let go of my hand, and I wouldn't let go of his hand. And then my friend and I'm like pushed me off because it was like, you go up the stairs, you meet them, get their autographs, say hello, whatever. And at the end, it was Drew from 98 Degrees, and he wouldn't let go of my hand, and I wouldn't let go of his hand. And my friend literally pushed me so she could like move on, but no security was saying, come on, move it along, because he wouldn't let go of my hand, and I didn't let go of his hand. I'm like, girl. Could have married Drew from 98 Degrees. He could have gotten my number. Well, my
so
pager number.
I take it she's not your friend anymore.
No, she is. She still
Because
is. She
that
still
was
is.
kind of harsh what she did there. That was kind of.
She literally pushed me. I'm like, what's your problem? I'm like, we've literally afterwards we got into a fight, and they're hearing us fighting. And like, I'm like, what's your problem? Why'd you push me? We had a connection. Out of
Can
all
you
this, I'm
imagine?
like, we had a connection.
You could be Mrs. Drew Lachey. Can you imagine that?
Well, I was like, what, 15, 16 at the
Oh,
time. I think
actually,
he's a
no,
lot.
that would have actually tanked the group because he would have gotten in so much trouble for that. But
Yeah,
yeah, no.
he, but you know, it's like when you're in high school and during that era, it was like Britney Spears, like schoolgirl outfit era. Obviously, even like firemen, like that work near the fire hall would do the same thing. We were all in like high school uniform kilts, so yeah, I think he would have gotten arrested, but that's okay.
Yeah,
That was something that.
definitely would have. Yeah, I was a 98 Degrees fan too. That's so cool. So here's a fun fact. I was not a Backstreet Boys fan growing up. Like, I didn't care for them, but I did listen to NSYNC and 98 Degrees. There was a group, I was living in Ohio in some of my teenage years, and there was a group called Youngstown. They
I
had the
think I remember.
Inspector Gadget song from the Inspector Gadget movie. So they were from Youngstown, Ohio, and I was living in Ohio, and I thought they were really cool. And I saw them in concert, and I met them a few times, and I wanted to be in the group, but I was not. But so yeah, I listened to Youngstown, and they were very short-lived, you know. I mean, outside of that song, I don't even think they exist. But since they were local, they existed in Ohio, so I was able to see them at concerts because they existed very locally because they lived local. And I also was a huge O-Town fan. I don't know if you, I'm pretty sure you know that, but you want to know what's funny? I was just researching somebody online from when I was younger. Do you remember a singer? Her name was Debola Morgan.
No.
So she had the song Dance With Me, and it was this huge, massive hit that she had. And then she had another song after that called I Remember, and she toured off of that album. The album was called Dance With Me, and then she kind of fell off the face of the earth. And I was researching her, and apparently she is Muslim, and she's like a Muslim wife, and she doesn't do music anymore. She did a gospel album, and now she's like some sort of preacher. And I was like, that's so weird, right? Because I remember, so I saw her in concert. It was Mandy Moore.
I remember Mandy Moore.
Do you remember Soul Decision?
Oh, yes, they're from here.
Yeah, it was Mandy Moore, Soul Decision. There was a group called Dream. Do you remember Dream?
And
They
no.
came from Bad Boy Records. They had a song called He Loves You Not.
Oh, yes. I remember that song.
Dream. And then it was Debola Morgan, right? She was also at that show. And that's because that's what made me think of it. Because I remember I saw Mandy Moore and Dream and Soul Decision at this show. It was like a Kiss FM show. And actually, the show was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because I remember it was one of my first times going inside the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was really cool. So it was like this really cool core memory for me when I was really.
I've met Soul Decision many times here.
I was obsessed with them, Gina, growing up.
My brother used to work with him, Dave.
I had their album and everything, right?
My
They had a
brother was his manager at the restaurant. He would eat my leftovers and I didn't even know.
So, what are they doing now? Do you know?
I think one's a real estate agent.
What?
Yeah.
Why aren't they singing? They I'm obsessed with them, Gina. Like, there's so many groups that I would have joined. Like, I would have joined O-Town. I would have joined you, Youngstown. I would have joined Soul Decision. Like, how dare they break up a perfect group, right? Like, they were so good.
It was funny because my brother's like, wait, that guy looks familiar from somewhere. And I'm like, he's like, I used to work with him. And then he's like, Gina, don't you remember he would bug you and he would joke around that like all the food that people didn't eat, he would eat it. Like, and I'm like,
Oh,
because
wait,
when
which one was that? Is it the
Dave,
is he the guitar player or the drummer?
I think he wasn't the lead vocals was Trevor.
Yeah, I remember Trevor. He
He
was
was
the lead.
blonde. The one that my brother used to work at had like he was the brunette.
All right, I see. I'm looking at a picture now. I see him. It's Trevor, and then there was a dark-haired one, and then there's another. There's a brunette. Well, he's kind of blonde now. His name is David Bowman.
Yes, that's who my brother used to work with.
David Bowman. That's so crazy, Gina. Like, oh my gosh, this album, I'm looking at it. No one does it better. This album, I had it. You know where I probably got it? Do you remember Columbia, where you order the CD?
Columbia House, yeah,
Yeah,
the one penny.
that's probably where I got it, and I never paid for the penny or whatever. That's probably how I got it. Like, honestly, because I don't know. Where did I get money to purchase this album, Gina? I don't know, but I had it. That's so crazy. And the Debla Morgan, that's probably where I got her album too. Because you could like fill out a little cue card and mail it back with no postage, and they would send you like 12 CDs.
Oh, I know. I
I
know.
don't know. The younger generation, y'all will never know what that was like. We couldn't just listen to the music and stream it whenever we wanted. We had to have a CD. And if you over listen to the CD, it would skip and you have to go buy it again. Because I used to over
Or
listen.
you would clean it with water and soap,
It
dish
didn't
soap.
always work, Gina. It didn't always work.
I
Some
know, I know, I know.
overplayed it and scratched it. You had to go buy a whole new album. And that happened to me a lot. And the Soul Decision Faded song, Gina, that was like my favorite song growing up. I don't know if you know, but that was my favorite song. And when I go back and listen to the lyrics at that age, I shouldn't have been listening to that.
And don't forget, ooh, it's kind of
Ooh, kind of
crazy.
crazy. But you know what song I liked that wasn't a single? I liked Gravity. You don't know
I
it.
think I
No one
remember
does.
that.
No one knows it, but it's called Gravity. It was like my favorite song off the album. And now that I've talked about this, I'm gonna go back and listen to the album now. I've like rehashed this. My favorite band from Vancouver ever is Soul Decision. And if anybody doesn't know who they are, go open your music streaming app, put in the song Faded, type in Soul Decision with no space between it, and you're gonna know that in 2000, in what year was Faded out? In 2000, okay, Faded was like the best song that ever existed. So go back 25 years, because I'm telling y'all, I can't even explain to you how amazing that album was for me.
Yeah, I will yeah, I think he's Dave is in real estate now.
Wait, you're in Vancouver, right? They're from Vancouver. So have you ever seen Soul Decision live?
Yeah, I have. They performed at like this talk show here as well.
So wait, was
And I
it
got tickets
talk
to
show?
see it.
So you got to
Pardon
see,
me?
you got to see them like when they recorded a TV show.
Yeah, you don't know how many times I skipped school for boy bands and for bands in general. You don't even want to know.
So have you ever been to much music studios?
Much music is in Toronto.
Oh, I'm sorry. That
I
sucks.
know. I
That's crazy.
know.
I actually went to Times Square, and I've seen people. I've been inside the MTV studios, and I've got to see people sing in there, and it's pretty cool. So,
Yeah, like much music on like Queen Street when any big bands would come, like Britney Spears and NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, the whole street would close. People would be sleeping there overnight. It was just ridiculous. But yeah, no, I didn't see them in Toronto. I haven't gone to much music, no.
that well, Toronto's nowhere near you, right? I'm pretty sure.
No, it's like 4 to 5 hour plane ride.
Yeah, it's nowhere near you. So that's not like it's not around the corner. I just for me, Canada is just one big city, so I just assume it
Yeah,
close by.
exactly.
So I want to talk about E! News, right? So it's everybody knows E! News. We grew up on it. I don't know if you used to watch Talk Soup back in the day. Did you watch the Joel McHale show called Talk Soup?
No, I didn't.
It was like a little spin-off of E! News where he would do like a comical take on the news. But E! News has been on the air for 32 years. Hard to fathom. And they canceled it. And they also canceled one of the late shows. I think the Stephen Colbert, the late, late
Bear.
show.
Yeah,
So
we were talking about that la on the last podcast.
how are you feeling about these monumental shows like E! News? Like, I know that the news is more fluent. Like, you can get the news from your phone, you can get the news from social media, you can get the news from TikTok. Were you, because let's just be realistic, I wasn't watching E! News anymore, right? And I don't
I
think you were
wasn't
watching it.
either.
You weren't watching it either. I wasn't watching the Late Late Show. Obviously, I didn't watch those type of shows. But when the shows go away, even though I wasn't participating, for some reason, it bothers me that something that has always been there, like a staple, is being removed, it makes you, it's like forcing you into a new era, like a new generation of something. And it's like, how do you feel about the things that we always known that we grew up on are no longer there? Like, does it bother you that we're losing those things? Because, like, for instance, some of these award shows, like the MTV VMAs is now coming on a different channel now. Did you see
Well,
that?
MTV doesn't even play music videos. Like, what happened? Like, same with like the MTV version in Canada, Much Music. They don't play music videos.
Why?
It's
Like,
all based on TV show, like Ridiculousness, Jersey Shore, which is fine, but it's called Much Music.
well,
MTV.
look.
We've grown up in a culture where everything. If I turn on MTV right now, it's going to be a TV show. If I turn on Much Music right now, it's going to be a TV show.
Well, it
It's
says
not music based anymore.
MTV Video Music Awards will air on CBS for the first time while being simulcast on MTV and available to live stream on Paramount Plus. So they are gonna simulcast it on MTV, but it's airing on CBS, which I think is so odd to me because it's called the MTV Video Music Awards. And this has been a staple in my life ever since I was a kid. I do remember watching these monumental
I
performances.
think the only TV show back then, way back when, that was on any music channels was Beavis and
Oh yeah, I remember Beavis and Butthead, and that was kind of music oriented because remember
Exactly.
they would make fun of rock videos.
Exactly.
So
So
it wasn't too far off to air this on a music channel because a lot of their show was them sitting on the couch watching a music video and criticizing and critiquing the video. But they started airing Teen Mom and they started airing Ridiculousness, and it's getting it, we're moving further and further away from music and music videos. And at this point, would you agree with the statement that music videos as an art form is dead?
it is dead. It's completely dead. I can tell you what's on my version. I was right. Ridiculousness is on my version of
Right
Much
now?
Music.
Yeah, see, I don't understand why we don't want the visual aspect of music, because growing up, I love the visual aspect to songs. I liked seeing the way the artist interpreted the song in a story, in like a visual story. And that did something for me.
And we don't even have MTV anymore. They got rid of MTV here.
You don't have the channel at all?
No.
That's terrible.
Everything has been moved to what's it called? Like streaming online, like on
Yeah,
like different
Paramount.
apps.
It's on Paramount Plus now, I think. But I don't want to watch. I mean, so I'm not against streaming things, but I do like the idea of sitting down. Because, when I was a teenager, when I was a kid, I knew when the MTV Video Music Awards were going to air, and me and my friends.
Me too. I wouldn't miss it or the Grammys.
Right. We would have our popcorn. We would plan it. We would pick whose house we were going to watch it at. And we would take in that pop culture moment. Right. And everybody in the world took in that moment at the same time. Right. Like when nobody, we weren't DVRing things. We were watching these moments in pop culture happen simultaneously
Live.
together. And then afterward, that was the topic of conversation. People were discussing the Britney Spears performance, the Jay-Z performance, the Lady Gaga performance, whatever you were watching that on that show, that was the topic of E News, right? Like that's another thing. So E News is now gone. So it's like we're taking so many different aspects away from popular culture. And I think that apps and technology and streaming is ruining, it's ruining what we once had. And I don't know if change is good or bad, because Gina, when it comes to change, I'm fighting it tooth and nail, right?
Oh, I know.
Shibuti will tell you if he wants to change anything, the fight with me and him and Zoom. Like, I will fight change with every ounce of fight in my body. I do not like change. I want things to stay the way that they are and not change. So, the idea that we're getting rid of things like E News, MTV, now the Video Music Awards, they want to stream it on Paramount Plus. So, that means people are not going to be watching and taking in the pop culture moments as they happen the way that we used to do it. And everything is just being done so differently now. And you know what bothers me the most about streaming, Gina? You know, when we were watching Love Island finale, and I was watching it, you were watching it, we were trying to do it simultaneously, obviously. And I accidentally opened Instagram. And since it's a streaming show, somebody fast forwarded, obviously, to the end of the show, and they decided to say who won, before the show ended. And this is another thing that I hate about change because 30 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to have known who won Video Music Award of the Year until it aired because there was no way for me to know. There was no social media way to ruin it for me. It aired live on TV. But now that we've move to these streaming apps, these streaming services, and we have social media so rampant, it's impossible to not have spoilers and to have things ruined and not be able to experience that moment for myself because I was not able to experience the moment of the announcement of who won the season of Love Island because someone on social media took that moment away from me. Like they ripped it from my grasp because I knew 44 minutes before it was announced who was going to win the show? And it destroyed the finale for me. Like at that point, I was like, well, I don't even want to watch it now because now I know. And that's another reason why I hate change. I don't like the way that we're taking away the experiencing of that moment in real time for everyone. We all would experience who won Video Music Award of the Year at the same moment. Everyone found out we were all connected. In that way, we were seeing and taking in the same thing at the same time, and we'll never be able to do that again.
No, we won't. So we
I
just
don't
have
like it.
to
I
live
don't
in the
like it.
past moments of what was and what it is now. So.
I hate it, Gina. I hate it. I want things to go back to the way that they were. Like, I mean, I like the idea of streaming because I do love binging shows. Like, I like that I can watch an entire season in one night. I do like that. But I think that some will never have pop culture moments the way that we used to experience them because now everyone is finding out moments at different times and reacting at different times, and we'll never be on the same wavelength. Like, we'll never be able to be in the moment the way that we were in 1999 when we were watching the Grammys, or in 1998 when we were watching the VMAs, or when we were watching a MTV Video Music Awards or the Super Bowl halftime show, where we were all taking it in at the same time and we were experiencing those things. And even all over the world, all over the country, we were all experiencing the same thing. And now
At the same time, yeah.
they're taking that away from us and it's making us more disconnected as a people.
Yeah, but it's the internet. It grows with change. Everything changes so quickly.
The internet is a blessing and a curse. Like, I love
Yeah.
it and I also hate it at the same time. Oh, so I know you're watching Love Island 6, right? And there's some Love Island.
I've already watched it.
Oh, okay. So I want to ask a question because there's been some news lately that someone from Love Island 6 broke up and it's a huge deal, but I don't know what's going on because I didn't watch it. So can you help me understand this? Because there's two people in the news right now that are all over my timeline from Love Island season 6. So
Right?
did they win the show? Who are these
No,
people?
they did not. I think they placed fourth. No, they placed third. They placed third. Her name is John, something with a J, and his name is Kenny.
Oh, her name is Jonna Craig and Kenny Rogers.
Yes.
And oh
Yes.
my God, she's beautiful. She kind of looks like a laundry a little bit. She's so
So
pretty. Oh my God, she's gorgeous.
you're just like, okay, now I have to watch it.
Yeah, and Kenny kind of looks like what's his name? The basketball player from this
Pepe.
season. Pepe. Kenny kind of looks like Pepe, and she kind of looks like Alondra. That's so crazy. So yeah, they're really pretty. So they were together this whole time
Yeah.
from the show. That's actually
Yeah.
pretty impressive. I'm very impressed.
So basically, they were at like this party, like on Saturday or S Saturday. I forgot whose party it was. But they did name the name of who the party was for. And now, there's so much going back and forth between them. Like everybody's unfollowed him, even Adriana Matrix, Madrick or whatnot has unfollowed Kenny as well. And there's a
Wait.
lot of back and
What?
forth.
Okay, so
Yeah.
you need to tell me what's going on, because if Ariana Maddox is unfollowing people, I need to know what's going on. What did he do? Or what allegedly, what did he do?
Allegedly, people are saying that he was cheating on her.
Oh, like the whole time?
Yeah, and but then other stuff, like she came out to say, like, it's not what you guys think it is, it's far worse than what you're thinking it is.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, now I gotta go back and watch season six. I'm sold, because now I want to know
But
what's going on. Now I really need to know what's going on, because they've been all over my timeline. I can't do anything
right?
anywhere without seeing them, and I need to understand why this is a big deal, because they're saying that there's
Yes.
all types of allegations and accusations. They're saying that there's racism and there's like cheating,
Yeah.
lying, and I need to understand what happened, because this is crazy. Like, and I know Love Island is larger than life. I get that. But I really want to know what happened, because they stayed together for such a long time after the show. And I.
So it's basically, she basically said on her Instagram story, I've seen all the breakup theories and none have matched up to how terrible, disgusting, and disappointing it truly is. Discovering that someone you love isn't who you thought they were and that the relationship you thought you were building hasn't been genuine since day one. It has truly, truly devastating. Thank you for respecting my privacy. And please know, as a child of God, I will always be okay. And then she reposts, like she tagged him. She's just like, STFU, you manipulative liar. You're not taking accountability and telling people the type of person you really are is insane to me. My first statement was me being nice. Do not piss me off.
Oh my gosh.
Because his response, like he posted a story. The past few days have been incredibly difficult. I've been quietly sitting with a lot of emotions. Hold on one second here. Sorry, I'm just reading. Hold on. Okay, so sorry about that. I've been quietly sitting with a lot of emotions and doing my best to process everything privately. Breakups are never easy, especially in the public eyes. Sometimes, despite how deeply you care for someone, you come to the hard truth that relationship was not something that could last long term. I'll always be grateful for the time we shared, the memories we created, and I release this chapter with no ill will, only hope that Janaea's path affords her nothing but happiness. And she reposted this saying, "You pathetic excuse for a story is laughable. I can't even put into words how good of a person Nene is and how hard it is to watch her go through something like this." Oh, someone. She reposted this, and that's what somebody says.
So,
So, one of her followers.
my question is, because Love Island Games has been filmed, do you think that either of these people, this couple, non-couple now, will be on Love Island Games? Because this was already filmed, and it makes you wonder, were they still a couple if they were on that season?
For
Because
Love Island Games, if it's live, I don't think so.
you think it's live? You don't think it's pre-taped?
No, because it starts in September.
Oh, so this is going to be live, because I thought that they pre-taped it.
But they could do a t kind of like a tell-all for Beyond the Villa, where this might be exposed.
Yeah, I feel like they are going to have to address this in some way, right? Like, I feel like, or maybe if she, what's her name? Janae goes on the show, she could tell her side of it. so she, at least people would understand, because she hasn't really said exactly what went down, but I think that at some point she's going to want to tell people what happened, and it doesn't sound good. Sounds horrible. We don't know the full story. I know there's three sides to every story, but based on the way she is telling us bits and pieces, it's not good. Whatever this guy did, it's bad. And watching the memes and the reels and everything, and there's so much speculation, but I don't like to go on that. I want to know what happened. Like, I don't want to know the guesses or theories. I just want to know, because there's like a lot of accusations, and they're saying cheating and all these other things, and I'm like, I want to know what happened. So I was like, if they're going to be on another season, if they're already filmed something for another season, I would love to hear, something about what's going on, because they're not telling us what we want. We want the mess. And I know you can't, people don't give you, they don't give you everything right away. You have to sell it. So at some point we're going to get the whole story, but
Yeah, they're saying like, oh, maybe it's a PR stunt to kind of get beyond the villa, like ratings like up there and whatnot, but it's not. And like they like she removed him from her bio or whatnot on Instagram, and he did the same thing. And that the fact
oh.
that, yeah, and she removed all the pictures that they had together.
Oh, yeah, it's very calculated. So, yeah,
Right.
we'll have
The
to.
only pictures she's left up is the, like, obviously, like the ad ones or whatever, like the partnership ones.
Oh, well, we'll see what happens, because you're right. This could be a way to get on another season.
No, but they're saying it's not. Even like other people, like from the same, from season six, there's unfollowing him. And one girl, Leah, she's just like stop following my man. Stop, like, and she's with hers as well. She's stop following my man and you clout chasing. Like, yeah, what she said to him was like, yeah, like clout chaser, user, and whatever, right? She's just like, you're just a user. Stop following my man.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Well, Love Island is always going to be in the news. You can't really get away from Love Island, even when the show's not on.
No.
You can't get away from it. It's going to be there. So there's a fun little weird story that came out of Florida, which, that's how most stories start. But Chuck E. Cheese, the guy in the Chuck E. Cheese suit. So, when you go to Chuck E. Cheese, there's like a guy wearing a suit, and
The mascot.
the mascot, back in the day, they used to have little animatronic machines. I don't know if they still do. I haven't been to a Chuck E. Cheese in probably 20 years. But okay, he gets arrested, and there's a video of him like in cuffs, but like literally wearing the Chuck E. Cheese outfit. And I'm thinking, like, how many children are gonna be like traumatized? Because like, I hope no children actually saw Chuck E. Cheese, like the guy getting arrested. But if they did, that's pretty traumatic, right? Like, the child shouldn't see like Chuck E. Cheese himself getting carried away by the cops out of the restaurant. Like, that can't be something that's like seeing Mickey Mouse, right? Like, getting arrested. Like, that's not something that the kid is ever gonna forget. So hopefully nobody saw that. But the weirdest thing is he was arrested for credit card fraud, and they arrested him at his job at Chuck E. Cheese as the mascot. And how do you explain this to a 4 to 6 year old child? Like, that, I don't even think children know what credit card fraud means. So like, I don't even know how you would even go about explaining what just happened, right? At their birthday party.
I think you would have to tread lightly on that and just be like, well, you see, Piper, he did a very bad thing that we're not supposed to do, and it breaks the law. So, what happens when you do something wrong at home? You get grounded. In this case, he's an adult. He has to pay his consequences. He goes to jail. That's
Yeah, and
the only way you can put it.
I guess kids are gonna learn about jail a little earlier than anticipated. And oh, so he got in trouble for making small purchases at a smoke shop, a grocery store, and a Whataburger in Tallahassee, Florida. So it's not like he went and bought a TV or anything big, but it just goes to show kids You do something bad, whether it's a big bad thing or a little bad
You
thing.
do the crime, you pay,
Yeah.
what do they say? Do you do the crime, you do the time.
Yep. Even if you're Chuck E. Cheese, you do the crime, you do the time. And you know, that story was a really interesting meme that I had amazing time seeing the different captions on over the past week of everyone memeing this photo, and it's been really fun making fun of that. But in all seriousness, kids, don't steal and stay in school so
Yes.
you don't end up like this Chuck E. Cheese guy. Yeah, do the
Yeah.
right thing, be a good kid, don't steal, and don't lie and don't do anything bad, because we definitely, this is a lesson here that we want to make sure that people are doing the right thing.
Exactly.
Oh, and one little thing we're going to talk about before we end is the follow-up to the American Idol murder story. So we got more information. Remember, I said last week we were like, there's got to be more info. It doesn't sound random to me, but there is more info now. And what did you find out about this story? Because you were telling me that maybe it was actually random.
Yeah, it looks like it was actually random. So,
What are the odds,
unfortunately.
right? That someone that worked at such an amazing place, American Idol, they've created Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, Ruben Studdard, Justin Guarini, like all these amazing singers came from this show, and this person just was randomly, her life and her husband's life were just taken, and it had nothing to do with her powerful job and the amazing life that she built herself. It was just some random drifter guy that unfortunately invaded her home and did this. It's such a horrible story. And I don't know, every time I heard it more about it, I was like, that doesn't sound right. That somebody wanted their money or someone wanted fame, or I just kept going in that direction. But no, just a random person picked a random house, and unfortunately it happened to be this American Idol executive's home, and it just sucks. It's this horrible situation all the way around. And
It's very tragic.
read that they didn't even take anything of value. Like, that's an because that's how, like, and I want to say that the murder was committed with their own gun. The homeowners, the husband and wife, it was their gun, unfortunately. And it's just the whole thing, it's just such a horrible thing, because it's a drifter, you know, someone just broke into a random, like, any mini money mo any home, right? And waited for them to get home, and then they went through this horrible, violent end. And it just makes you really appreciate, you know, life and how precious it is, because innocent people, because these are innocent people, you know, so it makes it even harder, minding their own business, going home to their own home that they purchased, that they earned, that was their safe place, and then something like this happened.
It's very tragic, unfortunately, and our theories were wrong.
Yeah, we were both wrong. I just assumed that it was something more to the story, but now that we have, you know, they've done more investigating, there's no more to the story. What they reported to us is exactly what happened, and whether it sounds believable or not, the truth is the truth. That's exactly what happened. And our rest in peace to these people that lost their lives in this horrific event. And you know, prayers to their family and friends and colleagues that have to deal with this situation. I can't even imagine.
Me neither. It's unfortunate.
It's so unfortunate. All right, so we're gonna come back next week with more pop culture topics. Hopefully, all of our celebrity friends and favorites and people that we love stay alive, because I don't want to report any more deaths next week. Please,
Neither do I. Neither do
write it,
I.
because that was a lot, and I don't have it in me to process anything else. So please, everyone, be safe and healthy, you know, because I don't want to re report anything else about that. But this was
We,
an interesting show, right? It was
it
interesting.
was. We might have on back to the Love Island, we might have two other hosts coming on board when Love Island Gates start. So that should be interesting.
I'm excited. I feel like we're converting people. Like, do you feel like we're Mary Kay salespeople, like Avon, Mary
I
Kay?
do.
And we're
I
like,
do. Like, we're like the sleazy car salesman.
we're like selling Love Island to people, and I feel like we're being successful. So we've been selling it, and
I think the memes worked. It rolled in captain, so the memes worked.
it's such an amazing conversation starter. Like, no matter where you are in the world, you mention Love Island and you can immediately have a conversation with the person next to you because they watch it too. It's not like you
Exactly.
can be on an airplane and you're just sitting next to a random person and you can be like, "Can you believe what Olandria did?" And they'll be like, "I
I
know."
know.
Because that's just how huge this is. So yeah, I'm really excited. The next time we come back with the pod, it'll be more of a round table discussion, which I love. I love lots of different opinions and takes on things because, as you can see, we can both be wrong. We both thought that there was more going on with that last story and there wasn't. So I love to get more opinions and perspectives on things. So I
And I
can't.
like seeing Captain's meme, so she is going to have a field day with it.
Yeah. And then we can use one of her memes as the photo for the podcast for that episode.
Yeah.
So everyone can laugh a little bit more at the wild, crazy topics that we deal with on these Love Island podcast shows. All right, y'all. This
Yeah.
has been fun, Gina. This was
It
fun.
has.
Thanks to everyone who's been listening. This is episode two. I'm George Massey. This is the George Massey Show, the pop culture pod. Thank you guys so much. Everyone, have a wonderful week. Be safe. Be kind to each other. And remember, memes are funny. Don't get mad at them. All right, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.